So the reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
Lots say that they've met love for themselves. But then when we start talking and they start telling me about their time with love, suddenly I'm not so sure anymore. Mostly they seem to talk about how love makes them feel kind of warm and tingly inside. And don't get me wrong, that's great. But that's not love. At least not the love I know. To be honest, the love they describe sounds like a kind of pale shadow of the love that I know. Like those budget brand chocolate biscuits you find in the supermarket. A little less chocolate, but still great for dunking. We're so easily pleased, I think, most of us. That's what it is. You know, I guess love's a little bit like the Queen. Everyone knows of her. How many people actually know her? The difference, though, is that love actually wants to be known. Love isn't surrounded by bodyguards and gates. Love doesn't live in palaces. Heck, love lives in my house. But most of us are just happy following love on Instagram. So let me just take a while this morning to tell you about the love I know. First and foremost, the love I know is patient. Now, that's probably not the first thing you'd expect me to say about love, right? But I've got to start there. I remember the day that love came to stay. I suddenly became aware of this knocking on the door. Knock, 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 knock. I don't know how to describe it. It was confident, insistent, but polite. It was determined without being desperate. It wasn't a pounding. It wasn't like someone was trying to batter the door down. But it was confident. And when I opened the door, there was love standing on the step. How long have you been standing out here, I asked. Forever, he said, since the foundation of the world. And I could believe it too. There was a kind of weathered look in his face, like he'd been out in all kinds of weather, wind, rain, blazing heat, sunshine, snow, you name it. Kind of rugged tenacity. And he stood there, as if he'd been waiting for that moment forever. Why didn't you just give up and go home? I asked him over a cup of tea later on. And love replied, how could I give up on you? You see, there's a stubbornness about love that most people who say they've met love just don't realize. Love has this kind of beautiful obstinacy. If I can be so bold, I'd even call it pig-headedness. I've discovered that again and again and again over the years. The number of times I thought I must have finally exhausted love's patience, I can't tell you. But love seems determined to stick it out with me, no matter what, to the bitter end. And when we fall out or disagree about something, love doesn't try and bully me into his way of thinking. Love waits. Love persuades. But love doesn't coerce. Love is kind, you see, and his tenacity is an expression of that kindness. He's considerate. He always seems to be thinking about me, never about himself. You know, he does little things like put encouraging little notes in my lunch for work. If I'm anxious or stressed or worried, and he can tell it, he'll just do little jobs around the house without even needing to be asked. And I'll tell you what I've never, ever seen in love. The green-eyed monster called envy. Never seen it. Not once have I seen love cast jealous glances at someone else's stuff or someone else's gifts. You know, I say things like, oh, I wish I was as good as James at connecting with people. But love sees a reason for joy there. And say something like, well, thank God for James. Isn't it great that God made people like James who can connect with people so well? There's a kind of security about the way that love goes about life. Other people aren't threats. Other people aren't opposition. They're gifts. Love only ever thinks about what he can give to others, not about what he can take from others. Love is completely self-effacing. He never boasts. You know, boasting is about making a big deal of yourself. Hey, everyone, look at me! Love's never like that. Love would rather make a big deal of other people. Love is a servant. I remember one time that I'd been out with a few friends on a long walk. In order to get home, we had to kind of go through this big bog. So by the time we arrived back home, our boots were caked in mud. They were stuck on us, stuck fast. But when we got home, Love undid the shoelaces, gently prized them off, and then went quietly off to go clean them whilst we had a bath. Love's like that. Love's happy to go about life unnoticed. Not an arrogant bone in Love's body. And Love isn't rude either. His manners are impeccable. You know, most of us say please and thank you because it was nagged into us as kids by our parents. Not Love. For Love, those words actually seem to mean something. It's as if they're a way of recognizing and receiving that help from other people as a gift, as something precious and valuable. I think it's part of Love's thoughtfulness. And it's the same thoughtfulness which means he doesn't insist on getting his own way all the time. It's never me, 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 me with Love. Do you know what he says all the time? You first. And what's so incredible is that Love even lets me make mistakes. You know, I can be so obstinate myself. And he'll say, I don't think that's the best idea. I say, no, I'm doing it this way. And he'll let me do it that way, even though he knows I'm making a mistake. Don't get me wrong, Love isn't a doormat. He isn't passive. He chooses to let others have their way. He chooses to let me have my way. You know, and folks will say stuff about him. He doesn't feel the need to constantly defend himself. Love is really slow to get angry. There are days when all you have to do is look at me funny to provoke me, to make me start getting irritable, fly off the handle. Sometimes I just have to get out of bed to feel like that way. But Love isn't like that. That's not to say that Love never gets angry, because Love does get angry. I've seen him get angry. But Love's anger is always part of his care. He hates seeing things steal and kill and destroy the life that God's given. But Love's different in his anger. He doesn't nurse his anger. He won't let it fester. He won't let the sun go down on an argument. And he won't rest until things are made right. And then when things are made right, love won't keep rehashing the past. He won't make snide little comments about that thing you did last Tuesday. Love forgives and forgives and forgives. Love doesn't keep scores. He never stores up grudges. Love absolutely 100% refuses to reheat last night's sins for today's breakfast. Won't do it. Every morning, no matter what's passed the night before, love greets me in the morning with fresh hope. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking that if love keeps forgiving and forgiving and forgiving, it's because he's not that bothered about the way that I hurt him. Well, that's just dead wrong. It's not true. Love loves what is good. He delights in all that's good. But love isn't afraid to call a spade a spade. He calls out my wrongdoing rather too often, if you ask me. He sees what my actions do to me. And it's like this visceral pain in the gut to him. It hurts him, and he can't stand to see me that way. Plenty of the times over the years, I wished that love cared just a little less about me, that he wasn't quite so interested in my life, that occasionally he just turned a blind eye. But he won't. He would rather risk my wrath telling me the hard truth than sell me a sweet-selling lie. See, love might yield, but he won't compromise on what's right. So don't go getting the idea that love is some kind of dreamy romantic, because he's thoroughly realistic. He knows what it means to get involved with me. And if he didn't, he sure knows by now, but he's stuck around. Love is interested in me, it seems. Not some fantasy me, some me that doesn't really exist except in your own best dreams. No, he's interested in me. And love's had to put up with a lot from me over the years. I've wounded him so many times I've lost track. Either through things I've said or things I've done, or even just the times when I've thought the worst of him. And that's not to mention all the good things I could and probably should have done that I haven't, either because I was too lazy, because I was too scared, because I was just frankly too selfish. Living with me isn't easy. I can be a horrible person at times. Sometimes I struggle to live with myself. I don't know how love does it. But it's come at a cost, I can tell you. Love carries the scars of living with me everywhere he goes. It's on his head, it's on his hands, it's on his feet. The number of times I've told him, you know, you should just leave for your own good. Love, I tell him, you should be living among the roses and the lilies of this world, not among the thorns like me. But he's adamant, no, I'm right where I want to be, thank you. And I'll pay whatever it costs. And that it's that willingness to pay whatever it costs that just astounds me again and again and again. You see, I'll pay the cost sometimes, for the right person. But often it's kind of through gritted teeth, biting my lip, begrudgingly. Does it joyfully, willingly. I've lost track of the number of times I've let him down. 70 times, 70 times, 7 times. Who knows? It's a lot. Yet love never seems to lose his capacity to believe the best of me, even when it's completely and utterly unjustified. There's a time I remember when love asked me if I could post a letter for him on the way to work. 4 days in a row I forgot to post that letter. If it was me, I would have grabbed it from him after day one, said, "Thank you very much, I'll do it myself." But each day I apologized. I said I'd do it the next day. Do you know what? He believed I would. Even after day four. And he would think of reasons why I might have forgotten to do it. You know, maybe I was distracted by something. There was something on my mind. And it just meant that the task at hand went completely out of my head. Perhaps I had to cycle a different way to work because the road was closed, and so I couldn't put it in the postbox that I'd normally put it in. You know, love's imagination goes into overdrive, trying to put the most favorable construction on a situation that he can think of. You know what he says? He says, "Cynics are just plain lazy." Hope. Hope, that's what I see in love. Unbounded hope. An unshakable trust, a kind of burning desire, an unwavering expectation that with God, all things really are possible. People can change. Lives can be turned around. That things don't have to keep on going the same old way just because they've done that for years. Love won't write people off. Love doesn't storm out the door saying, "You're impossible! I can't stand it anymore!" Even when I'm at my worst. Even love knows beyond any doubt that there have been times when I've hurt him on purpose. There wasn't any good reason for it. Even trying to rack his brains, trying to think of reasons I might have done it, there was nothing. It was just plain spite. And yet love's hope was that even the coldness of my heart could be softened and melted. If I were him, I would have given up on me years ago. I say to myself, he's still doing this? Have you still not learned? But love keeps reminding me that though I'm not what I want to be, or even what I should be, that I'm also not what I once was. Love will keep going to the end. I know he's not going to walk out the door on me when the going gets tough. You know why? Because I've nailed him to a tree and he's still come back. Doesn't get much tougher than that. The love I know is constant. How else could you know who love is unless you'd spent a lifetime with him through all those ups and downs? People say that love gives them a warm feeling, a glowing inside, and I get that. But for me, what I value most is love's endurance. He simply will not give up. He simply will not go away. No matter what I throw at him, he'll be there. He'll stay stood, still, standing firm, and carry on. Love is thoroughly dependable. I can trust love because I know that his care for me doesn't ebb and flow like the waves of the sea. I can trust love because I know that his commitment to me doesn't depend on how I make him feel. I can trust love because I know he's committed to me. To me. Not to any feelings that are associated with being with me sometimes, but to me. And when I think about it, love looks a lot like death. I know that sounds strange, but just hear me out for a bit. Think about love's patience. Well, that means he's having to die to his desire for an easy, uninterrupted life. Or think about love's kindness. Well, that means he's having to die to the desire to please himself. How about love's lack of envy, which means his having to die to the desire to be an island all to himself? How about love's lack of arrogance, and his having to die to the need to be a bit taller than others, to walk around superior to everyone else? How about love's not being rude? Well, that means he's having to die with his preoccupation with himself. He's having to die to him going about life without thinking about how he impacts everyone else. Love's willingness to yield. Well, that means having to die to that thing that's inside of us all, I think, or certainly in me, of having to get our way, of trying to force our preferences, our wishes on other people. What love's not being easily irritated. Well, what does that mean if it's not his having to die to the never-ending stream of petty frustrations? And when love refuses to be resentful, isn't that his having to die to the needs that we all feel that we have, to the right for revenge, to get our own back? When love refuses to delight in wrong, isn't that costly too? Doesn't that mean having to go against the flow sometimes? Doesn't that mean having to speak the hard truth, even if it's going to single you out, even if it's going to alienate you? Doesn't bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things, and enduring all things mean he has to die from the temptation to flee when the going gets tough, to choose some other path but the path of obedience? Death seems to follow love everywhere. Yet what I know is that love's death has brought me life. Love has borne the weight of all my mess. Love has believed that his life could give me life. Love has hoped that I could be more than I am now. Love has endured the cost of coming on alongside me, even when that costs life itself. So many people speak about love as if love's an idea or an ideal. He's not. Love is a person. I've met him. There are people who remind me of him. I see them now and again. People who have clearly spent a lot of time with him. He has a way of rubbing himself off on you, you see. And I certainly hope that you can see some of him in me. Not nearly enough, not by a million miles, but enough just to make an introduction. Because I want him to meet. I want you to meet him for yourself. Because he wants to stay at your house too.